Grown-ups and children, I've got a question for us just to get our minds thinking. Would you rather have one sweet now? So imagine I had a sweet, imagine I raided the tin over there, had a sweet, and you can have it now. You can enjoy the sweetie goodness. But you know that by the end of this morning, you're going to be really, really hungry still. Or maybe, or would you rather go hungry now, forgo the sweet, maybe, and stick with what you know that is coming up. That is a great big, all-you-can-eat carvery. Yeah, I know. So some of you are like, oh, I'm getting hungry. With roasts, ham, beef, chicken, nut loaf, whatever vegetarians have. Which would you go for? You'd go for the okay, be hungry now, because you know that you're going to be satisfied later. And that makes you happy now. Instead of going for the sweet, which, yeah, sure, it makes you happy sort of now, but leaves you wanting later on. It leaves you unhappy later on. That kind of idea of happiness is what we're looking at this morning. Except what's being described about isn't food and hunger so much, but life and happiness. And the Bible has a special word for this kind of happiness that is lasting, that is satisfaction as opposed to gratification. It is the happiness that is truly lasting, deep down happiness. And that word is blessed. Let's read the Bible together. We're reading Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 1 to 16. So Matthew 5, we're reading verses 1 to 16. Now, children, remember, you've got your learning sheets on your laps because you're listening. This is, I'll be honest, this is the most important bit. Just giving people a chance to find it. Great. Seeing the crowds, he, that's Jesus, went up on the mountain. And when he sat down, his disciples, his followers, came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Did you see that word mentioned over and over again? Blessed. It's what we're looking at today. We are looking at the blessed life. The blessed life. Not that kind of blessed. That's Brian Blessed. That's an amazing kind of blessed life, but that's not the kind of life we're looking at. We're looking at this kind of blessed life. The life lived with Jesus as King. Now, children, here's where you can get stuck into your learning sheets. You've got a space for the big idea of this morning, and here it is. Here's the big idea of this passage. The followers of Jesus get to live blessed lives like him because we are blessed people in him. followers as Jesus get to live blessed lives like him because we are blessed people in him. The first thing that we're going to look at is how followers of Jesus get to live the blessed life. We get to live blessed lives. We're in Matthew's account of Jesus' life on the earth, and John had been preparing the way for Jesus, the Messiah, the promised king, and now he'd come announcing that we need to repent, that God's people need to repent, that the whole world needs to repent, turn away from sin and self and turn back to God. And they needed to repent because the kingdom of heaven at that time was on its way. But more than that, the king of that kingdom, well, he was now there, God's own son. And we're beginning a block of teaching, what we call the Sermon on the Mount, and it comes in chapter 5 through to the end of chapter 7. And it's where Jesus describes what a life lived with Jesus as king is like. And he begins by explaining how they are blessed people. The followers of Jesus get to live blessed lives. Children, you can turn over your sheets and you can write in that missing word there. Now, it's easy to get blessed, confused with feeling happy. It's easy to get blessed, confused with feeling happy. For instance, we might think that someone is blessed, looks like this. There he is. A man who needs no introduction. It's Mr. Happy, of course, it's Mr. Happy from the Mr. Men books. Mr. Happy, he's always happy. He's always smiley. He lives in happy land. He lives in a happy house, in a happy forest, with a happy dog and a happy car and happy curtains, I don't know. Everything in his life is happy. But Mr. Happy is not the same as Mr. Blessed. Mr. Happy is not the same as Mr. Blessed. Let's take a look at what Mr. Blessed looks like. Children, listen along or follow along with me. We're looking at verses 3 to 10. Look what Jesus says. Blessed are the poor in spirit. That is, they humble themselves before God and they know that they are poor, frail men and women. Blessed are those who mourn. They're upset by wickedness and sin in the world. It grieves them. It cuts them to the heart. Blessed are the meek. They're mild. They're gentle. That doesn't mean that they're necessarily weak, but they use what strength they have been given for others, and they use it rightly. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. That is, they eagerly desire to enjoy that right relationship with God. Blessed are the merciful. They're full of compassion, having pity on people, especially those in need. Blessed are the pure in heart. They love the things that God loves. They have a heart after his own heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. They bring peace where there is conflict and division. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. They suffer for being God's people. And then in verse 11 to 12, it sums it up like this. Have a look with me at verse 11. Blessed are you when others revile. They're mean to you. And they persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on Jesus' account. You see, following Jesus isn't necessarily a happy life on the surface. You can be a follower of Jesus and be very, very sad and unhappy because life is sad and unhappy. However, you know that your happiness, that there is more to life than your happiness. And you can be blessed because you know that you are truly happy, even when your life isn't. A blessed life is where you are truly happy, even if your life isn't. Now, younger children, you've got a space to have a go at drawing your own Mr. or Little Miss blessed. I tried to think of one, and I came up with one, but I think you could probably come up with one that's better than mine. Older children, why don't you have a go at putting those things in your own words? There's space for that on your sheet. Put those things that Jesus describes in your own words. You see, let me tell you why Mr. Happy is happy. Mr. Happy is happy because his life is happy. But what about when something goes wrong? What about when he gets picked on at school for being friends with the unpopular kid? What about when he chooses not to pursue his life's ambitions and dreams because he needs to stay at home and provide and care for his family? What about when he loses out on work because he won't sign that deal that he knows is against the law? What about if he might lose his life for speaking out about Jesus? Is Mr. Happy going to be Mr. Happy then? Maybe, but he can definitely be Mr. Blessed. Worldly happiness works like this. If you have a loving family, then you'll be happy. Successful career, you'll be happy. Good education, you'll be happy. Health and prosperity, you're happy. Money and power, definitely happy. But here's the thing. Those things, all of those things, even if they could provide us with that true, lasting, deep down, in your gut happiness, even if they could, which they can't, but even if they could, all of those things can and will be lost eventually, leaving us with nothing. Like the sweet at the beginning, a few seconds of happiness, and then it's gone. Whereas Mr. Blessed or Little Miss Blessed, well, they are happy even when they have reason to be sad. Why? Because they know who God is. They know what he's like, and they know what is waiting for them eternally. Have a look with me at the second half of those verses. Look what it says. It begins and ends with two things that are true now. They are true. Everything else is yet to come. Have a look with me. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's true now. They shall be comforted. They shall inherit the earth. They shall be satisfied. They shall receive mercy. They shall see God. They shall be called sons and daughters of God. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And look at verse 12. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. That's the roast dinner. For they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Your life may be sad now. That is the way of God's people often. But that isn't the end. There is a far better thing waiting for you. It is yours now, and you will receive it in full when Jesus returns. In these verses, a truly happy person, a blessed person, they are happy because of who God is. Children, this is on your sheets. You might want to fill this in. They're happy because of who God is and who they are in relationship with him. If the name Wichells carried any kind of weight to it, like Windsor, which it doesn't, my family owned half of Devon in the 1400s, and then somebody sold it and lost it all on gambling and illegitimate children. Welcome to my family. If the name Wichells had any kind of substance to it, then Joshua and Leonie, my children, they would be blessed. They would be happy because of who they are in relationship with me. I'm the heir of my family's mythical fortunes, and they would be too because of their relationship with me. And the same is true with us and God. He is our Father. Blessed people, a truly blessed person, they're happy, deep down happiness, because of who God is and who they are in relationship with him. Let me ask you this. Is that you? Is that you? Do you know God as Father, Heavenly Daddy? Lord Daddy is what he's called in our household. Quite like that. Is that you? Do you know who he is? Do you know who you can be in relationship with him? If not, you'll get a chance to hear about how you can discover how you can belong to God as and call him Father in a moment. Do talk to me afterwards. Do come on Life Explored. That would be a great opportunity to find out about this kind of blessed life. Don't leave it there. If you're sitting there thinking, I don't think that is me, I cannot state this strong enough. You are not only missing out on wonderful, blessed life, but you are in danger. Come and ask me afterwards why. Followers of Jesus get to live blessed lives. And the reason we get to do that is because we can live blessed lives like Jesus. We see this most clearly in Jesus himself. Think about it. What was Jesus like? Children, that was a cue for you to fill in the next bit on your sheet. Followers of Jesus get to live blessed lives like Jesus. Think about what he was like. He was poor in spirit. He's the Son of God. All creation belongs to him, yet he gave it up and clothed himself with flesh, becoming nothing. Poor in spirit. He mourned over sin. Think about his encounter with the money changers in the temple and the traders, turning over tables. Think about when he sat outside of Jerusalem and he cried. He wept because he looked at this city that was supposed to be God's city and he could see the sin and the corruption and the death. And he cried. He was meek. He used his power and strength of a spirit-filled life to teach and heal and restore. He hungered. His greatest need, well, it was time spent with his Father, wasn't it? He didn't go around asking people for food or looking for the kind of ways to satisfy his flesh. He longed for that quiet solitude with his Heavenly Father. He was merciful. He looked on people with compassion and saw them as lost people without shepherd. He was pure in heart, literally having God's own heart. He was peacemaker, bringing peace between men and God. And he was persecuted, suffering even to death. Why? For being God's own son. These verses do describe the blessed life that we can live, but we can only live it because Jesus lived it first. And he has given us this life by faith. These verses, they do show us what the blessed life looks like, and it is right and it is good to put them into practice. But we mustn't be fooled into thinking that we can live this way and so please God apart from Jesus, apart from living by faith in him and trusting that it is him that makes us blessed by God. And here is the beauty, the wonderful brilliance of the good news of Jesus. You see, followers of Jesus, children, here's the next part of the sheets. Followers of Jesus are blessed. Well, they're blessed because of Jesus. Blessed because of Jesus. This is the good news. No matter how good we are, no matter how much we try and keep God's commands, we cannot attain to the goodness that God requires, for he requires no sin, not even a dot of sin in our lives. And no amount of rebellion can stop him looking upon us with a father's heart. And so what does he do to reconcile those two things? Well, Emmanuel, it's in the name of our church. He came. He was born as a man. He humbled himself. He lived this life that we see in these verses perfectly. He obeyed God's law fully, completely. We're going to see that in a few verses' time. And he obeyed his heavenly Father in everything. And he went to the cross. And on the cross, something amazing happened. Jesus' perfect life of obedience, he surrenders. And in its place, he takes on our life of sin and rebellion, our life of failure and death. And he allowed himself to suffer as us on the cross, in our place. What happens to his life? Well, in his resurrection, he is raised to life, and all who follow him are clothed, are given, are imparted that life as their own. Think about that for a second. Everything that is true of Jesus is true of you. If you trust him, if you allow yourself to be united with him in his death and his resurrection. That means, in terms of these verses, this becomes you. Not because of what you do, but because of him. That's freeing, isn't it? I knew I had my work cut out. It's free. You guys, let me introduce you to the white middle class nod, okay? I've been in some churches, they're very charismatic, and they're like, hallelujah, amen, praise it, brother. You guys aren't like that, I know that. You're a little bit more reserved. Let me introduce you to this, okay? If I'm saying something that's from the Bible, it's about Jesus, and it's true, and it's good, do this. Okay? It knows that I'm listening, and it knows that you're listening, and it helps me to make sure that you're hearing what I'm saying, because this isn't insignificant stuff. This is eternal life. This is blessing beyond blessing. This is the riches of heaven. Every spiritual blessing in Christ. And it's yours, and it's mine, because of Jesus, through faith in him. Oh, well, revival. Brilliant. Let's go on. Let's carry on before we get too carried away. In this way, these verses aren't so much describing what we are to do. They are a little bit, but first and foremost, they're describing Jesus and who we are like in him. When we live by faith in Jesus, we know that we're nothing without him. And so we will be poor in spirit, we will be meek, we will be humble. We will be all of these things because we know who we are in him, and we know that we are blessed because of Jesus. The only verses that really sort of give us something to do are in verses 13 to 16. And there we see that followers of Jesus help others to live the blessed life. Look with me, verses 13 to 16. You're the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. That's a warning that if you know who Jesus is and you know who you are in him, well, live like it. Otherwise, you're no good for anything. You're still a child of God, but you're useless on the earth. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but they put it on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. Here we are, verse 16. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Followers of Jesus. Children, you're on the last part of the sheet. Followers of Jesus help others to live the blessed life. Remember the framework of the book as a whole. At the beginning of Matthew's gospel, we have repent and believe the good news. At the end, we have make disciples of all nations, calling people of all nations to repent and believe the good news. It's a wonderful circle. Followers of Jesus become people that help others to be followers of Jesus. This is our responsibility, yeah, sure. It's our duty, it's our calling, it's our charge, it's our mission. It is our privilege. It is our blessing. I think we lose sight of this, that sitting down with someone and saying, hey, let me tell you about Jesus, he's Savior, and I think you need to trust in him. That's a real honor. Getting to live like Jesus to a lost world, we're his hands and feet. Wow, what a privilege. What an amazing thing. I'll be honest, it's the reason why we love doing Life Explored. We love seeing people meet Jesus. If you've lost that love, then maybe you stop doing it. Maybe your lamp is a bit hidden. Maybe you've let your colleagues at work move your city to a valley. Let me give you three ways that you can live simply, that you can live effectively as a follower of Jesus and help others to become followers of Jesus. By the way, this assumes that you know that helping people to become a follower of Jesus means saying to them, Jesus is Lord, you need to turn and trust in him. Somehow, some way, some shape, some form, that's what evangelism is. That's what helping people to be a follower of Jesus is. But let me tell you three ways that your life can help that. Number one, live and speak as a follower of Jesus. It's not rocket science. Look at Jesus and copy him. Be a follower of Jesus. Number two, do this clearly. Simply, plainly, and clearly. This may mean going to work on a Monday and saying, do you know what, I'm a Christian, I went to church on Sunday. They're not going to pick up stones to stone you, I'm pretty certain. You may even have an opportunity to help someone become a follower of Jesus through it. Children, if your teacher asks you anything about Christianity, tell them, well, I'm a Christian and I believe, and tell them. If your friends ask you about it, tell them. Do it clearly. Live as a Christian. Do it plainly. And number three, make use of God's gift of the church gathered together. It's easy to help other people become followers of Jesus because we're a team. Bring them on a Sunday. People will look out for them. People will welcome them. People will talk to them. Make use of celebrations like Easter coming up. It's a great time. I think we make more of Christmas than we do of Easter, and I think it should be around the other way a little bit, or at least make the same fuss of both. Easter's brilliant. Enjoy that celebration and make use of it to help others discover the blessed life in Jesus. And I've already mentioned Life Explored. Come and find out about that. What we've been looking at this morning is this. Followers of Jesus, they get to live the blessed lives, get to live blessed lives like him because we are blessed people in him. Is that you? Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your good news. I thank you for Jesus. I thank you that our Lord Jesus, that you lived the blessed life that we could not. And in your death, you took our sin upon yourself. And in your resurrection, you give us that blessed life. Help us to live it now, knowing that we'll get to live it eternally, and we will get to enjoy the riches and reward of a relationship with you, our Heavenly Father, and that begins now. Help us to help others to discover that for themselves. Amen.